Secondly, the ark was to be handled in a very special way. There are several passages that are important here. Let me give you two of them. The first is from Exodus chapter 25. And God, here's God's instructions. You shall put the poles into the rings on the side of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord. You see, God's plan for moving the ark, which began clear back in the wilderness and applied to any time after that, was that it was to be handled in a very specific way. This wasn't just any box. This was a place where God met his people, and David failed to follow God's plan. You have to ask yourself, when they were fighting the Philistines and they took the ark out of the tabernacle and brought it into the camp of the Philistines, if they handled it in the right way. We're not told. You also have to ask yourself why God didn't strike them dead for going in the Holy of Holies and taking the ark. We're not told. Now, your first reaction to Uzziah's death might be, well, that's pretty petty of God. Couldn't God just overlook it this one time? I mean, the guy was trying to be helpful. Let me give you the biblical response. Exodus chapter 15, this from Moses. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And of course, the answer is, there is no one like God. This from Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 8, as he dedicates the temple to God. Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keeps covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all of their heart. God did not strike Uzziah dead because he is a fickle God or because he was unclear with Israel about how the ark was to be handled or because he was angry or because he's capricious. He struck Uzziah because he is a God who is glorious in holiness, a God who, as Solomon said, there is no God like you. This morning we sang a song. We called him Highest King. Who but the Highest King could welcome me? What do you think when you sing that song? Do you think of the total otherness of God? The total holiness, the total majesty, the total glory of God? You see, we want God to operate on our level. We want God to be like us, just a little bit better. And we fail to really understand who God is. And we fall into a false sense of who God is. The Bible describes God as the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are just. Think about that for a moment. We studied the justice of God in our adult Bible fellowship this morning. We know from our study that it means that God is totally righteous, totally without sin. All his ways are just, including what, class? The death of Uzziah. All. Not some of his ways, not part of his ways. All of his ways are just. A God of faithfulness, without iniquity, just and upright is he. Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Excuse me. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Do you realize in that one verse, the writer has declared that God is the eternal one, that he is the creator of everything, that he is the almighty one, that he is the all-wise one in that one verse. That's who God is. When you get to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Can I tell you this, church? God is not like us. He is so far above us. He is so far beyond us that if it were left up to us, we would not be able to begin to comprehend who God is. And that's why He has told us who He is. It's when we begin to understand who God is that we will begin to take God seriously. God said to Joshua, Joshua 1:8, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." You see, that's where David went wrong. They forgot who God is. And therefore, they did not do what God says. Uzziah paid the price because King David and all of the priests and everyone in Israel forgot who God is. And they tried to do what they thought was a good thing, but they did it in the wrong way, and they paid a price, a terrible price. An innocent man died because David did not follow God's plan. Well, the story didn't end there. Look in 2 Samuel 6 at verse 9. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. By the way, a Gittite was a Philistine. This is a Philistine who's living among the Jews. Thought you'd like to know that. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. What was different about this time? The last time David tried to do this, it ended in total disaster. An innocent man died. Well, innocent at least in the fact that he was trying to do the right thing, not innocent in what he did. I want you to see now that David made the right choice. Again, the writer of 1 Chronicles adds to the story. So let me read to you now from 1 Chronicles chapter 15. "And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, 'None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever.'" Down in verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 15, "And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest and for the Levites and said unto them, 'You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord of God into the place that I have prepared for it.'" In verse 15, "And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord." Those are significant words. Did you see the difference between this time David moved the ark and the previous time when he tried to move the ark? The first time they tried to move the ark, it was carried on a cart. This time it's carried by priest holding the poles of the ark as God said it should be. The first time it was moved by 2 men in Israel who were not even Levites. This time it was carried by Levites as God said it should be. The first time David followed his own plan. This time he followed God's plan. Wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall in David's palace between these two times. What caused David to change? There had to be a lot of discussions, and someone must have pointed out, David, you didn't do it right. Oh, king, please, don't chop my head off, but let me tell you, you didn't follow God's plan. And David must have said, well, what's God's plan? Let's find it. And the priest brought out the word of God and said, here's what God says. And David needed to be reminded that he served a mighty God. And he got the message. The second time he tried to move the ark, the Bible says the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. You see, folks, it makes all the difference when we do things according to the word of the Lord. It makes all of the difference when we follow God's plan for life instead of following our own plan for life. And that's the choice each of us have. David had a choice either to move the ark God's way or to move it his way. When he chose to move it his way, disaster. When he chose to move it God's way, it all worked out. Now, just so you don't think that David, the first time around, simply forgot what God said. That's not the case. You see, everyone in Israel knew that the ark, what the ark was and how the ark was to be treated. And if you say, well, David simply forgot, then you have to say every priest in Israel also forgot. And every person who was there that day forgot. There wasn't even one person who would say, stop, king, you're not doing it the right way. David didn't forget. The priest didn't forget. The people didn't forget. They simply chose not to follow God's plan. The choice was his. And that's the lesson that I want to leave with you as we end our series today on God has a plan. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. There are so many things that God has told us how we are to do them. Not just the black and white commands of Scripture, of which there are plenty. There are stories, like the story of David, that teach us how to live life. There are principles that teach us how to live life. There are values in the Bible that teach us how to live life. There are truths in the Bible that teach us how to live life. And those truths and those things the Bible says cover a multitude of issues. The Bible tells us things like how to handle our finances. It tells us how we are to act in the marriage relationship. It tells us what is moral and what is immoral. It tells us how we are to choose the right kind of friends. It tells us how we are to handle our anger. It tells us how we're to forgive. It tells us about mercy. It tells us how we're to love. It has a work ethic in it. It tells us how to get along with people. There was a list I saw this week on the internet where they found 115 separate topics the Bible talks about. And you and I think two or three things, four or five things. 115 different issues addressed in the Word of God very practically so that we will live according to God's plan. And so the question that we're faced with this morning is the same question that David was faced with. Am I going to do it my way or am I going to do it God's way? It's a choice. Each of us have it. How are you going to live life? How are you going to make the decisions in your life? I want to challenge you to think very seriously about whether you're going to do things God's way or you're going to do things your way. And again, I want to bring up the fact that God is not just someone that's just a little bit above us. He is the almighty, eternal, everlasting, omnipotent God. That's who we're dealing with. And listen, we had better get a handle on who we're dealing with, because it can affect your life, Let me give you a New Testament example. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? He's talking there about the communion service. And he said, some of you are sick and some have died because you didn't remember who God is. You have to ask yourself, how many Christians today have died because they chose to do things God's way? I mean their own way and not God's way. It's a serious business. Being a Christian is a serious thing. It's not just coming to church on Sunday. It's not just singing a few praise hymns. Being a Christian means dealing with Almighty God, the King, the highest King, the one who is above all, the one that we can't even begin to get a glimpse of apart from what He has revealed of Himself in the Bible. It's a choice. Each of us will have that choice every day, to follow God or not to follow Him. Let's pray together. Father, it is with some degree of fear that we do come before You. For You are Almighty God, the highest King, the God above all gods. And even those words do not describe adequately who You are. You are the one we are dealing with. Lord, forgive us when we choose to follow our own plan for our lives and not Your plan for our lives. This week, we are going to be faced with a decision. We're going to be faced with a choice, either follow God's way or follow my own way, either to tell the truth or to tell a lie, either to be kind or to be angry, either to speak helpful words or to speak harmful words, either to love or not to love. Lord, help us to choose Your plan and Your way. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.